All right, welcome back to Know Your Disaster with Miss Alex. Thank you again for listening. I just saw this morning that I surpassed Cat City Radio in the rankings, and it was a very exciting moment. It's not often that you beat cats on the internet, so thank you again for tuning in, at least to the first episode. I don't know about that, but anyway, so just a little background on today's episode and just in general. So in college, I took a lot of African and Asian history. Those were actually my favorites. The more I read about the Asian or African experiences on this from their perspective versus the European ones, it was really eye-opening to me how traumatic a lot of the European movements and conquests were. So I tend to want to represent their perspectives as well throughout this. So I really try to make sure I hit every continent best I can. So today I'm going to my favorite city and country in history, that is China, to talk about the 1976 Tangshan earthquake. And this always fascinated me in all my classes when I read about it, because it was really painted as this horrific, terrible earthquake that they completely kept to themselves. And obviously there's seismographs and there's geologists who can identify, yes, an event occurred, but they refused any outside assistance and wanted to be as self-sufficient as possible. And given the timing in the realm of China's political environment at the time, it was a really interestingly timed event given what the political climate was like at that time in Chinese history, especially in Maoist era history, which is my favorite. This whole time period is utterly fascinating to me. So, a little context before we start today. I'm a big China nerd, especially when it comes to like 1960 through 1976 Chinese history, so that's where we're coming from today. And so, a little about China in 1976. In January that year, the Chinese premier, Zhou Enlai, he passed away from ongoing illness, natural causes. Most of the Chinese political elite were aging at this point, and a lot of them were facing health problems, and he was one of the major Mao supporters who ultimately passed away. And at this time, Mao's health was failing pretty quickly as well, which led to the Gang of Four, which Chinese history is an entirely separate episode. It was a group that was essentially fighting for their own power in Chinese political sphere. They were ultimately banished from the political elite later on, which again is an entirely different episode. But just as kind of a perspective, like, this was a really transitory year for Chinese political history, because it was only 6 weeks after this earthquake that Mao himself died. So it's historically believed that a natural disaster is an indicator of imminent dynastic change or transition, and it in this situation is really often cited as a clear evidence to that. And elsewhere in history, it's been as well. And some little earthquake fun facts here before we go into this one. There is, on average, about 500,000 earthquakes around the world every year, though obviously we only feel a few. And what I did not know is that on average, every single year, there is a magnitude 8 or higher earthquake somewhere on the planet. Usually, it's somewhere remote or in an ocean where it doesn't really affect people, but in certain circumstances, especially Sumatra in 2004 is the biggest one that comes to mind, it can really be devastating. And Tokyo in 2011 as well. So there's also an average of about 10,000 deaths worldwide every year related to these earthquakes. But that gives you kind of a context of where we're coming from with the 1976 earthquake, which occurred in Tangshan, China. So we'll get to that. It was July 27th, 1976. It was a magnitude somewhere between about 7.5 is the low end I've read, 8.2 is the high. So somewhere between 7.5 and 8.2 magnitude on the Richter scale. And it lasted about 14 to 16 seconds. It occurred at 3:42 a.m. So most people were sleeping. And the death toll of the event is the most conflicted part of the entire incident. So I will just dive right in. So there were no foreshocks to this earthquake. A lot of Chinese earthquakes in the past, it's a really volatile area for earthquakes, and they're usually indicated by foreshocks, smaller earthquakes leading up. There were none. However, what there were some really unusual incidents and phenomena reported throughout the region. Well waters fluctuated 3 times up and down the day prior to the earthquake. Gas was reported sprouting from other wells in the area the month prior, even for the week leading up. Animals were restless. There were packs of rats. There were goldfish swimming around in their little tanks, and other animals were just acting very unusual. And actually, Wang Qingming of the State Seismological Bureau, the SSB, warned locals that the region would... So he was warning locals that the region would be struck by a major quake very specifically between July 22nd and August 5th. He told this to a meeting of about 60 people, and of course most of them from around the area said, okay, great. One local official, Wang Qingsheng of Qinglong County, took the warning very seriously, and the whole county that he represented did as well. They had actually been preparing for about 2 years for some sort of disaster or earthquake to hit. And he actually took this information back to his county and really got the message out to people to be prepared for this. And he was holding information meetings in his county up until the day before July 26th. And just for context, you know, Tangshan is in northern China, it's closest to the border with North Korea. It's, I believe, about a little over 100 miles from Beijing. It's a little further north, just for context purposes. And so, as mentioned, the earthquake struck at 3:42 a.m. when most people were sleeping. There were some people at a railway station who had been sleeping outside where it might have been safer, but they actually were hit by a heavy rainfall just a few minutes, half an hour prior, and a lot of them had moved inside. This area was not believed to be a heavy earthquake region, and it had not had too many in the past, even though surrounding areas were having escalating incidents of increasing magnitude. This particular area hadn't, so it was not well equipped at all for an earthquake. It was on what was previously unknown as the Tangshan Fault Line. It was not known prior to this incident, which was another reason they were not prepared, except those in that county who actually did not suffer a single fatality, though they did suffer a lot of damaged buildings, of course. So this earthquake struck. Most people were completely unprepared, and the 7.8 or so earthquake struck, and initially a lot of people survived. There was a lot of damage. Anywhere from 80% to 95% of buildings were destroyed, especially residential homes, which were pretty much built as one-story houses with very thick cement roofs. Few were able to withstand the initial quake. And most people survived this initial quake. However, about 16 hours later, so that following evening, another almost equivalent aftershock struck. Anywhere from it being 7.1 magnitude to equal in 7.8. And that was really what killed a lot of people who initially were just trapped by their houses, but then were crushed by them falling a second time. And that was the cause of most deaths. The damage was estimated at the time to be about 10 billion won, or $1.5 billion U.S. dollars. However, the NOAA, a U.S. agency, estimates it closer to being about $5.6 billion. And damage was recorded as far away as Beijing, which, as I said, was about 100 miles away. And the lack of aftershocks was also blamed for a lot of these casualties, which, number-wise, I will get to in just a moment. And given the magnitude of both the initial earthquake and the massive aftershock, the city of Tangshan was essentially leveled. A major hospital was destroyed, which caused a lot of fatalities. Their primary industry was mining. All of the coal mines collapsed, though no coal miners actually died in the mines, even though there were almost 2,000 there at the time. And, thousands upon thousands of buildings were just completely destroyed. It's actually considered to be the deadliest earthquake of the 20th century by any measure of the death toll, which, drumroll, was officially announced in 1988 by the SSB at 242,419 people, so a little over 242,000. This number varies extremely depending on where you read. The lowest estimates place it a little under that, maybe a 200,000. The highest estimates I found were at 779,000. So there's a 500,000 person span in that. And I've read that 164,000 were injured, but I've also seen that flipped to be those high-end estimates at 700,000 injured. So it's really hard to say. The Chinese government has never really officially announced it themselves, and it said the SSB announced that death toll, not the government itself. And it was not the deadliest quake in Chinese history. That actually occurred in 1556, when about 830,000 were killed in the Shaanxi earthquake then. Though, again, it's hard to get those accurate estimates. So with all of this loss and devastation, naturally the UN came in and offered to provide assistance. And China just kind of shut them down and said, we want to be self-sufficient in this time of crisis. We want to take care of our own. So they sent in 56 medical teams from Shanghai, as well as 100,000 troops from the People's Liberation Army, which were not having a great PR year after the Cultural Revolution and the expunging of the Red Guard, which was essentially a teenage militia group. Again, a whole nother episode I can go on way too much about. And that was what they used to maintain order and get help for people in the region. It was a city of about 1.6 million, and with over 700,000 injured and or dead, it was actually closed off to foreigners for 7 years after that, the city of Tangshan, at least. In addition to closing off the city to foreigners and refusing foreign aid, China was very much an isolationist country at this time, more so than most of its history, most of its modern history at least. This also leads to the other significant part of this earthquake was the political connections that were involved. So the city was shut off to foreigners, foreign aid, and rebuilding began immediately. And part of this was a political move to make sure people didn't get distracted by the conflicts in the upper political elite at the time. They did not want, according to some propaganda, people to be slighted or distracted by this event and allowed to be taken over by unfavorable political factions, specifically Deng Xiaoping's. Who had been ousted from the party elite a few years earlier and was feared to be aiming at a comeback of sorts. Eventually he did a few years later, but again, another podcast. Mainly, I just wanted to talk a little about the political significance of this time period in China and why this earthquake was important. And so, as I mentioned, it was a year of a lot of political uncertainty. The premier, Zhou Enlai, died in January of that year, and he was replaced by who would become Mao's successor, Hua Guofeng, that time. Mao was extremely ill. That summer, he passed away on September 9th, 1976, so about 6 weeks after this earthquake, and was replaced by Hua Guofeng. He took control, and he was actually a major prominent character in this earthquake. Since Mao was pretty much too ill to do appearances, he did them on behalf of the party. He was seen in Tangshan with shovels, ready to go, ready to help rebuild the city, and that really helped solidify his role in the party for the next several years. And though there was a lot of support around this move to rebuild from the earthquake, the critics warned people not to get distracted from the main goal of the party at the time was to eliminate the Gang of Four, and their very unpopular Gang of Four, and to eliminate Deng Xiaoping as well. They called it a criminal attempt to exploit earthquake phobia. That was what they were afraid people would get sucked into by unsavory forces. And the fact that the rebuilding was so rapid, it happened within about 7 years or so, though it was still a huge work in progress long after that. It really helped solidify the party's role in the Chinese culture and Chinese prominence at that time. And the city was actually nicknamed the Brave City of China. For today, it now has a population of over 3 million. It's completely rebuilt with earthquake-proof materials and building and structures, and it's really thriving just as if it hadn't happened. And in addition to the structural improvements made to the new city of Tangshan, it also, so the quake itself also helped improve the rapport between seismologists and architects and builders, because seismologists, a lot of them actually believe the area to be an active earthquake region before the incident. The escalating earthquakes around Beijing and other areas were really indicating that it was very likely that something was going to hit soon. However, most of the buildings were much older than these analyses, and they were not prepared. So it was actually after this event that the scientists from the state and builders got together to make sure that buildings would be made to last if another event occurred of that magnitude. It really helped rectify that disconnect between science and the construction. And now that's the story of the Tangshan earthquake in a very, very brief nutshell. I do have a couple other little miscellaneous notes just in general about the event. 160,000 people were made homeless after the incident, and 4,000 children were made orphans after. And again, this is mostly due to building collapses during the second aftershock. What I found interesting was that a lot of people were also made widows and widowers, and what the party did was try to arrange marriages or relationships between these people just to create a sense of quote-unquote, or to provide family warmth in this time of tragedy. And so I found that really interesting, and it worked well for a lot of people who just like, oh. So I read one quote from a woman who said that her replacement husband was actually better than her first. So, you know, I guess it works out. As I mentioned, all the miners escaped who were in the mines at the time, which was about 1,951, but a lot of them actually died once they got above ground, mainly because they would be either in their beds or in their homes where the very thick cement-built roofs collapsed on them. Additionally, in addition to the crazy animal activity and the well water fluctuating, there were also strange lights and sounds that were reported in the days leading up to the quake. It's not quite sure what those were or if they were there, but they were reported by people. Additionally, earthquake monitoring stations in Xinglong County, the one that was very well prepared, also noted differing mud consistencies prior to that as well. So there were a few signs And this one county was very well prepared, but for the most part, it was just a widespread strategy across this region of northern China. The fact it was very close to the coast and a lot more muddy sediment did not help the situation either. So that's without going into too much of political culture in China at the time, which I could very easily do, what I have for the Tangshan earthquake of 1976. If you have any suggestions or ideas or thoughts or anything on an episode or a future episode, please let me know. I just set up my email today. It is knowyourd@gmail.com. Again, knowyourd@gmail.com. I'm trying to be a wise ass here, I'm sorry. And yeah, just please let me know if there's any comments or questions or anything. Again, I beat Cat City Radio, so I'm really excited. And I hope you enjoyed this, and thank you again for listening. I will be back again later with the next episode, and I will see you again soon. So thanks.